You're listening to Radio Coda.
Found it.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Coda, a weekly podcast radio show for older Queenslanders, proudly brought to you by the Council on the Aging Queensland. I'm your host Andy Neal, and as always, it's great to have your company. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and let's see what we've got in store for you on the show this week.
Founded in 1957, Council on the Aging, Coda Queensland, is a not-for-profit organisation advancing the rights, needs and futures of people as we age. Working in partnership with the Queensland Government, local councils, community organisations and the community to create an age-friendly Queensland. To join or to find out more, visit cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348.
You know, Arthur, this weather's been so hot, I reckon our electricity bill's going to go through the roof, and we haven't even been using our air conditioner this summer. Every time the power bill comes in, I feel like it's been written in another language. It's just so hard to understand. Prices are forever changing, and those tariff thingies are so confusing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. My old mate Bert was saying there were changes made in the electricity market last year, which means the electricity retailers can charge us whatever they want. Bert said it also means now that we can shop around for a better deal.
Be that as it may, Arthur, it's all too confusing, and I just don't have the time to be chasing around trying to sort it all out.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Beryl. Have you heard about the Switched On Seniors?
No, I haven't. Switched On Seniors sounds like some kind of head-banging rock band.
Ah, you're a funny old bird you are, Beryl. No, it's a free information session that's being offered to seniors groups, and it helps explain all the electricity changes.
Well, that certainly sounds like a good idea, Arthur. Do you think they'd do one of those information sessions where our seniors group usually meets?
Well, that's the great part. You know that Radio Coda podcast thingy we listen to each week? Well, apparently the Coda Queensland people have what they call peer educators, and they travel all over southeast Queensland visiting seniors groups just like ours.
Well, that certainly makes it a lot easier. Let's sign up for that then.
I totally agree with you, my darling. So can you get on to organising that, please? I'm just a wee bit busy at the moment.
Busy? You're sprawled out in that old armchair of yours watching the cricket. Don't put your feet on the coffee table. You must have been born in a shed.
Opportunities are limited, so book early to secure a session for your seniors group or organisation. Visit www.cotaqld.org.au to obtain a booking form or email bookings at cotaqld.org. QLD.org.au. It's great to be speaking today with Max Borchardt, who's from BUMS, or as better known, the Brisbane Ukulele Musicians Society. Now, we've spoken with the BUMS folks a few months ago and heard some of their music, but a very exciting time. There's their 10th year anniversary coming up. So, Max, very good morning to you and welcome to Radio Coda.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's a pleasure to be here. I love talking about BUMS, about the Brisbane Ukulele Musicians Society, BUMS, that is.
So, mate, 10 years, that's a great run. I believe that the 3rd of May is the day and you've got a special event upcoming, a big jam. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, certainly, Andy. We're celebrating our 10 years on the 3rd of May. We started in 2007. We've been playing pretty much since then every first Wednesday at the Kooparoo Bowls Club, where we have our main gathering on the first Wednesday of every month. And we'll be inviting and recalling as many old bums as we can with a view to having the biggest jam we possibly can.
And this special event, where's that being held, Max?
At the Kooparoo Bowls Club. We'll be putting on some pretty special jams designated for the event, and there'll be probably a few nibbles and some drinks, and it's always a good venue. Parking's pretty good around there.
Fantastic. So it sounds like a good time to be had by all. It's open for the public to come along as well and enjoy the occasion?
Absolutely. We'd love to meet people who are interested in learning to play the ute. First night's free. If you come again, we'd like to charge you a modest amount, or you can, of course, join BUMS, which we'd love to happen because we've only got 230 members and we need a few more BUMS on seats. It's going to be bumming and strumming.
Fantastic. Max, thank you very much for filling us in on that. We'd encourage everyone to come along if they can. It should be a great night.
There is mention of it on the website. And, of course, this Bum's Birthday Jam is just a precursor to our festival, which is being held at the end of September at the South Bank Community TAFE.
So what's that website again?
The website is the Brisbane Ukulele Musicians Society, and if you just look up that, you'll catch us easily, and we order seeing as many people as we possibly can.
Brilliant. We'll look forward to seeing you on the 3rd of May.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Cheers, Max.
Cheers. Bye.
Our guest on Radio Kota this morning is Paul Barnes. Now, Paul is the treasurer for RD Kota, the Redland District Committee on the Aging. He's also the treasurer of the Donald Simpson Centre in Cleveland. He's the financial officer for Star Community Services. He's actively involved with the Redlands Wildlife Care Network and also a convener for hearing impaired support. Paul, what are you doing all your spare time?
My wife asked me the same question.
Paul, it's great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We also have the wonderful Ange Jarrett with us. It's all yours, Ange.
Thanks, Andy. What we'd like to do is chat about the changes to the Redlands area in the past decade. So, Paul, can you tell us what the changes are in relation to aged care and disability that you have seen?
Well, Redlands itself is known for its seniors. Population-wise, seniors make up a majority of people in the Redlands.
Mm.
The main reason for that is the Redlands itself offers the balance between country, town and city, because while we're only located 23 kilometres from the centre of Brisbane, which makes us theoretically inside the city's limits, we still have the appearance and community of a country town.
Mm.
People here are extremely friendly. Life is slower than it is in the city, but at the same time, it has that lovely sense of being in the country. And there's a very big portion of volunteers in this area.
Mm.
For example, Star run a thing called Volunteering Redlands, and Star itself has over 100 volunteers to help them out.
Wow.
So the community itself helps others out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a matter of doing things for yourself. You do it for others.
So in relation to the changes that you've seen in the Redlands, I know that the Redlands is heavily involved in promoting age-friendly cities and communities. The Donald Simpson Centre is one of the places that we're actually currently doing this interview.
Mm.
It has a really strong sense of community, and it's very accessible for people from all walks of life. So it's from mums with prams or dads with prams, I don't want to be sexist, all the way through to people who are quite elderly. So we can have access for wheelchairs, people who have hearing impairment, people with vision impairment. How did all that come about?
Well, the Donald Simpson Centre was actually built about 30 years ago. This is the 30th anniversary year.
Mm.
Originally, it was started off through RD Kota and the Redland City Council coming together and trying to raise money to get the centre built. So back in 30 years ago, RD Kota was helped to raise about $36,000 towards the building.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't sound much by today's standard, but when you're talking 30 years ago, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all through community effort. A lot of people put money in and a lot of people helped out. So the community as a whole got together to build this place. Council helped get grants for us from state funding and other sources, and the centre was built. The community centre has grown a hell of a lot since those days.
Mm.
In the past couple of years, there's been a massive change to the Donald Simpson Centre. We've installed here things like the hearing loops and the FM hearing systems here for people with hearing problems.
Mm.
We have got the vision impaired support group meets here every month, and we have got ramps and things for people who've got problems with mobility.
Mm-hmm.
We also have people with scooters coming into the building. We've made changes to the cafeteria. The cafeteria now produces a lot better quality and a bigger variety of food.
Mm.
Like last week was Irish week, so we had a Guinness pie.
All right.
And chips and mushy peas.
Mm-hmm.
So there's things like that we do to make things more palatable and bring more people into the centre.
That's all well and good, Paul, but how's the coffee?
The coffee is barista style.
All right.
Nobody can predict the future, so planning ahead can bring peace of mind to you, your family, and your friends. Planning ahead can ensure your financial, medical, and personal wishes are respected and followed. Kota Queensland have developed information sessions about choosing an enduring power of attorney, planning ahead, and how to identify key people in your life who know and respect you, and, should they be required, will act on your wishes. These sessions are free, interactive, and available from February 2017 until May 2018 in various locations throughout Queensland. If you're part of a community or seniors group and think this session would benefit your members, contact bookings@codaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348 for more information or to make a booking for your community or seniors group. This project is funded by the Queensland Government, Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services, with the support of the Public Trustee.
What are we listening to?
Radio Coda.
And so the money raised at the Donald Simpson Centre, where does that go?
Well, it goes into the building maintenance and the things mm-hmm. itself. The building is owned by the Redland City Council, mm-hmm. but the Donald Simpson Committee is responsible for maintaining of the building, which, as you can imagine, with a 30-year-old building, things like painting and just normal repairs mm-hmm. can be mm-hmm. quite expensive. Things like that, little profits from there helps us out. We try and keep the prices down to the minimum because we are catering for people over 50 mm-hmm. in majority of cases, although we have some members that come in here now who are under 25.
Mm. So it's a really inclusive community,
it's a very
community.
So yeah. You get the young and the old mixing together. Mm-hmm. The seniors are helping people with a disability. Good mix.
Mm.
Originally, it started off as an over 55s club, and now it's a community centre. Mm. It's getting involved, the community, as a whole range of people, not just seniors. We cope for other groups as well, which is a good aspect.
Mm. It is.
You need the community to be not just one segment, but the wider community as a whole.
Mm.
And I guess with the diversity in the Redlands, it just naturally formed that way, didn't it?
Big changes here in aged care, for example. In recent years, there's been 5 new retirement villages built here, and there's some still being built. Renaissance Retirement Village have got humongous big buildings just being completed.
Yeah.
And you see some of their top-of-the-range units, which will cost you $1 million apiece.
Mm-hmm.
They're built into the bush. However, while all this building is going on, the council has been very mindful about trying to keep the place in its community aspect
mm.
of parklands and bush areas mm. for the wildlife and for people to enjoy.
Yes.
Alexandra Hills, for example, park there has got a flying fox.
Mm-hmm.
Capalaba has the accessible playground as well.
Yes.
Which has gym equipment for anybody, which is really accessible.
You just wheel the wheelchairs onto the swings and go for a swing.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all wheelchair and mobility accessible.
Mm.
The Redland Council is very predominantly moving towards a friendly city,
mm-hmm.
not just for the aged, but for the age.
Mm. For all people.
It's for all people, mm-hmm. the young and the old.
Yeah.
And they try to make things so that they're more friendly that way. Things like putting in small dips so that people can get the wheelchair off the roadside and go mm-hmm. across the road.
Mm.
The only other place that I've heard of that's actually doing that, not that it's the only place that is doing that, is up at Mareeba. The Mareeba Council put a significant amount of money into adjusting the curbs because they had several people in wheelchairs and to help mums with prams, and they did that 20 years ago.
Mm.
And now everybody seems to be getting on board, and you think it's not rocket science.
It's real logical stuff,
yeah,
isn't it? Can I fire a question at you?
Yes.
From your own experience, in this day and age where technology is moving forward so fast, how do we continue to move forward in that way, taking hold and using all these technological things, but at the same time maintain that wonderful sense of community that's drawn us all here in the first place? I know a lot of us over 50, we're not always that accepting of change.
Mm.
We love community, and that's what we all grew up with, and that's something that the world at large seems to be losing rapidly. How do we harness that technology and at the same time maintain that wonderful sense of community?
And keep people communicating with people?
Well, technology to a certain extent has helped in that it gets access to more people now than we used to.
Mm.
While a lot of the older seniors are having problems with internet, things like the RD Coders broadband for seniors and the Donald Simpson's computerized lessons and U3A, these are trying to bring them into a modern world so they can talk to their great-grandchildren.
Mm.
How do you Skype? Things like that, which brings them back into the life of their grandchildren, which they miss
mm.
because they've moved here or they're staying here and they've moved interstate or overseas. They don't see them. Now, with modern technology, they now have got the ability to communicate outside of the area
mm.
and still be in contact with friends and relatives. If I put my hearing hat on,
yes.
Technology is a very big, important thing for people who have got a hearing disability.
Mm.
While things like cochlear implants and hearing aids do not give full 100% hearing, it does improve it.
Mm.
It doesn't give you full hearing. It just improves it so that you can decipher it on mm-hmm. a better method.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a better way of saying it.
Radio COTA has been created for you, our listeners. Email us at radiocota@cotaqld.org.au to give us your feedback, offer topic suggestions, share your stories and let us know what interests you. Radio COTA is funded by the Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services in Queensland. Send us a line, we would love to hear from you.
You're listening to Radio COTA.
Do you think it's important to have that technology not visible for everybody to see so that you don't have that segregation?
Mm.
You know, inclusion to me is where people aren't being identified by other people as having a disability. We just have this technology sitting back behind them, but allowing that person to be included without making it, you know, all the beacons surrounding the technology. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That we're focusing on the person, not the disability?
Yes, in respect of having technology there, it's available for people so that their disability is not necessarily showing, but knowing in respect that a lot of people with hearing impairment don't care if mm-hmm. they have a hearing impairment. In fact, I have two or three friends who are nearly deaf, and when they have their hearing aids on, they want to buy the biggest, the brightest colours. Mm-hmm. They want people to know I've got a hearing problem,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't know, you talk too fast, you mumble. They don't need you to shout. And by having this invisible hearing impairment, you don't know they have a hearing problem.
I don't mean that the hearing impairment is invisible, but the technologies to support that. Instead of making the person uncomfortable, it's just automatically there to assist everybody, regardless of their ability. And that's what life needs to be about.
Mm.
In the Redlands, I really like the fact that you can go anywhere, that so many buildings are accessible. There still needs to be some work, of course. But this is a really good pilot area for age-friendly communities.
I don't think we're going to get 100% everything done, but the general view is that council is moving towards making new buildings more friendly.
Mm, right from the word go.
From the word go. And that's the way to do it. Trying to retrofit everything is just not going to work.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
Mm. It's interesting, they've been advertising on TV this new app designed very much to help people to stay in contact with their neighbours. Why don't we just
knock on the door?
Go and talk over the fence or knock on the door?
And I think that's what you're alluding to as well, isn't it? Well, we've got all this fantastic technology.
Keeping it community. We over 50s have got the knack of that. That's the way we've always worked. It makes you wonder, though, for generations that are following, whose only way of communication is via social media.
Yeah.
You need the face-to-face interaction, human-to-human.
Mm.
The computerised access outside the area is fantastic, keep in touch with family and friends, but you still need to have interaction person to person, where places like the Donald Simpson have that type of activities. They may only come here to play cards, or they may only come here to play lawn bowls, but they can interact with other people they don't normally meet.
And you know, you can feel that atmosphere when you walk in the door.
Yes.
It's so different. It's just everyone has that eye contact.
Okay, so let's get back to the changes in the Redlands. We've gone from 30 years ago to having a centre that's been built, and I guess from there the council and the people at the Donald Simpson Centre have recognised people's needs changing and recognised that the community's changing in regards to people's abilities, so they've redesigned the centre to meet those needs, including hearing loops, including a whole heap of technology, but also simple things like ramps, accessible toilets and things like that.
And good coffee.
And good coffee.
Good coffee. Good
coffee. So where to from here for the Donald Simpson Centre and for the Redlands community?
The council is actually trying to get together with a lot of different groups to perform a community hub.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind that is they'll have a centre of excellence, if you like,
mm-hmm.
for community involvement with not only just community service groups, but they'll also have facilities in there for senior-orientated businesses like physiotherapists,
mm-hmm.
podiatrists, doctors, things like that, all within the one hub,
mm-hmm.
which is good for seniors.
Yeah. One-stop lifestyle.
One-stop lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
The council is trying to balance the difference between environment and putting in buildings for growth, because let's face it, Queensland's growing.
Our guest today has been Paul Barnes. Paul, thank you very much for your time. You've got a wealth of information. Perhaps we need to talk to you a little bit more in the future. But thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Paul.
Cheers.
You're listening to Radio COTA.
Here on Radio COTA, it's time for the news.
News time, Ange, and to kick it off, we're going to have a historical look at Queensland and the diverse state that we've created.
I was doing some research on a brief history on Queensland. In 1825, a small penal settlement in today's Brisbane became the first place for Europeans new to the area we now call Queensland. Approximately 120,000 Indigenous people already lived here, and due to the next several decades of pastoralists occupying grazing lands across the region, many Indigenous populations were displaced. From 1859, the newly separated Queensland became an immigration colony, as successive governments established immigration agents in Britain and some parts of Europe to attract settlers. The population then grew from 30,000 settlers to nearly 340,000 between 1860 and 1890. Settlers arrived from the British Isles, Germany, Jewish immigrants, Russia, Malta, Greece, and even Scandinavia. In the 19th century, migrants from Asia and the Pacific arrived, with the biggest catalyst attracting Chinese migrants being the discovery of gold. By 1890, the population of Chinese increased to over 10,000, taking up agriculture, trade, and services work mostly in North Queensland. Around 60,000 South Sea Islander people came into Queensland, mainly as labourers in the sugar-growing districts in the north, with most returning home after 3 years. Around 9,500 still lived in Queensland in 1901, but by 1908, only around 1,500 to 2,000 South Sea Islanders were permanent residents of Queensland. During the 19th century, European immigration continued, with more people from Greece, Russia, and Italy. A strong Russian community formed in Brisbane, Italians embraced cane farming, and Greek people started establishing hotels and catering businesses. After the end of World War I, German immigration increased. This diversity of people moving to and living in Queensland has continued to grow and has created a rich tapestry of customs, acceptance, and a strong sense of community still thriving today.
Wow. Now, the next one is a bit of a newie to me, Ange, and I've never heard of it, but I'm fascinated. It's called the Brisbane Beer Riot.
It really relates to what's happening with lockout laws right now, so it's kind of interesting. So the Brisbane Beer Riots, according to reports, no photos were taken as the media were threatened. So this is apparently what went down. The Brisbane Beer Riots happened on October the 26th, 1940, with rioting taking over the streets and sparking fighting on Queen Street, lasting for around 6 hours. Apparently, the riot started during a review of closing time for bars, causing some outrage due to the decision by the state government to enforce strict liquor laws and restrict trading hours, closing at 8 p.m. with no Sunday trading. While laws were already in place for bars to close at 8 p.m, they weren't enforced, and as soon as some thirsty soldiers and civilians found out about the crackdown, they took matters into their own hands. Two soldiers started fighting outside a hotel, where police had to intervene, with reports stating that police were kicking the soldiers. Once word spread of the alleged police brutality, hundreds of soldiers congregated, blocking trams and generally causing mayhem and chaos.
Wow.
While police reinforcements moved in, the crowd didn't disperse, refusing to leave. The crowd were heard shouting, "Roll out the barrel, we want beer." The soldiers didn't let up, running after trams, breaking off the tram poles connected to overhead wires, causing trams to come to a standstill. Smashed windows, fistfights and crowded streets led to the military police also being called in. Some soldiers managed to steal a keg of beer, rolling it down Queen Street while singing "Roll Out the Barrel." They managed to break the keg open once they realised there wasn't a tap for the keg. While there were still around 5,000 riders present at 12:30 a.m. on the Sunday, peace was finally restored.
Good to hear.
Only in Queensland.
Indeed.
We love our beer.
And you've got a question for the listeners to do with their family stories, just finding out how much they actually know about their parents' world in their youth.
How well do we really know our parents?
Particularly in this day and age when everyone's into looking up their ancestry.
While our parents are probably considered the most familiar people in our lives, they can also be the most mysterious. Who were they when they were younger? What was their life like when they were growing up? What were their goals and dreams when they were younger? And what experiences and influences impacted their lives? How often do we take the time to learn stories of our parents' or grandparents' past? How much do we really know about our family history? If you'd like to learn more about your family and not just the medical stuff, take the time to chat with your parents and grandparents and record it all before the opportunity is no longer available. We sat down a few months ago with Thelma Jarrett, who is 99 years young. She had me laughing, sometimes in shock, at the things she did as a child and teenager. I've shared this with my kids, who I know appreciate having some of the stories of their great-grandma when she was growing up in Queensland. At Radio Coda, over the next few weeks, we would love to hear from our listeners any stories of their past and how having this conversation with parents or grandparents may have helped to re-establish relationships with family members. We will also be out and about in the community interviewing people to celebrate the diversity of our great state, and we'll share these on Radio Coda as well as Coda TV. Further details will be available over the coming weeks. As the Roots author Alex Haley once said, in every conceivable manner, family is the link to our past, the bridge to our future. Share your stories by emailing radiocota@cotaqld.org.au.
Sounds like a great idea. So, you're probably sick of me asking you this question, Ange, but what's on?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Andy. Head along to the Cheese, Wine and Food Fest, showcasing the unique range of the Merry Valley's finest foods, liquors and wines.
Sounds good to me.
I know, it got my attention. Mm. There will be a great variety of food stalls, gourmet cooking demonstrations, wine and cheese tastings all day.
Crackers.
For entertainment, see Queensland's only cheese rolling contest. For children, there is the Great Cheester Egg Hunt. Spend the day in the country, Kenilworth, heart of the Merry Valley.
Cheester egg.
It took a while, didn't it?
Oh, dear.
RV-friendly Kenilworth Town Park and Cheese Factory. Entry is free. Check it out on the 15th of April in Charles Street, Kenilworth, and more information can be found at www.kenilworthfoodfest.org.au.
BYO crackers, that's what I was trying to say before. What else you got?
Okay, from the 15th to 17th of April, head along to the Highfields Pioneer Village in Toowoomba. We love Toowoomba.
We do.
To share in the 20th annual Easter Vintage Festival celebrations. Come and experience rural life in the Australian pioneer days. Milk a cow, learn to crack a whip or be a blacksmith. Enjoy billy tea and damper made in authentic camp ovens, and don't miss the spectacular grand parade and baby animals in the nursery. There'll be live music and great food. You might even encounter the infamous bushranger Ned Kelly.
Ooh.
Whether you love history, you're a vintage machinery buff, or you're just looking for great entertainment, you will have a wonderful time at the Easter Vintage Festival. It's an affordable, entertaining weekend for all ages. Further information, go to eastervintagefestival.com.
Poor old Ned wouldn't be in terribly great shape now, would he?
No, I was a bit concerned about that.
Yeah. They got any cheese rolling there as well?
Not that they've mentioned, but you just never know.
Right. So where are we at, Ange? We got anything else there?
No, that's it today, Andy.
As always, it's been an absolute pressure.
Pressure. There's actually one more thing I'd like to add. As you're very well aware, a couple of weeks ago, I lost a friend to suicide.
Yes.
And as you know, it's been a real struggle for all of his friends and family to get through.
Very difficult.
This, and I think that people will never get over it, of course.
Mm.
If anyone has any kind of depression or anxiety or issues, please talk to somebody, whether it's your GP, a friend, call Lifeline. It's really important to actually talk, especially blokes,
yeah,
because there's such a high suicide rate with men, and it's absolutely devastating, and the effects will just go on forever for the rest of the family and friends.
Yeah, yeah. That's not one to be bottled up and kept inside. Share. Yeah.
That's right. So check out Beyond Blue or Lifeline. Have a chat.
Timely reminder, Ange.
Thanks, Andy.
One last thing quickly, Ange. One of our most loyal listeners, Dave from Gladstone, he's been in hospital and has been very unwell. We're hoping by now he might be home.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to send out a cheerio and a big get well soon, Dave. We're thinking of you. And thanks for listening.
Take care.
Yeah. All right, Ange. Well, that's it for us for this week.
Glad to be here, and I can't wait until next week.
Me either. So God bless you and all who sail upon you.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
Cheers, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Radio Coda is produced by Riversong Productions for the Council on the Aging Queensland.
You're listening to Radio Coda.